Psalm 116, verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?"
Amen.
If you haven't asked that question with a real understanding of what the question means, you haven't achieved your first step in becoming human. You see, because God gave you reason. God gave you understanding. He gave you a moral understanding. An ethical understanding. He gave you so many things that beg this question. It begs this question. What can I give God for all His benefits for me? It makes three realities come to mind that I want to touch on this morning. The three realities, first of all, being the physical reality, and that is that you've received from God. You have received benefit. You got stuff going on that you didn't do. You got stuff that came to you as a gift from God. That's the physical reality. You're enjoying His benefits every single day. That's the first reality, the physical reality. The second reality is an ethical reality, and that is you're not here just to absorb. Even a sponge gets to be squeezed once in a while and let something back. You aren't just to take in and receive. You've got some duties. You got to give something back.
Amen.
You owe God something. That's the ethical reality. Come on, you know it. You teach your children that.
Amen.
Number three is a spiritual reality. And that is that you don't have much to offer God. And what you do have to offer is pretty miserable.
Amen.
And finds itself unacceptable to God. For the most part. All over the world, people offering God what He will not take. What He does not want. These are the three realities I want to deal with today. I want you to consider, first of all, the physical reality. You were created. You didn't create yourself. Now that's in the words of a deist, not a Christian. Didn't believe the Bible. His name was Thomas Paine. He wrote a book called The Age of Reason. You read chapter 7 in there and he'll give you the reason why you have to believe in God. I get a kick out of these atheists who think they're really smart, and they think that the reason why they're atheists is because they're so smart. And I don't mind quoting Thomas Paine to them because his argument is unassailable. It's almost impossible to overlook. You did not create yourself.
Amen.
You didn't make yourself. You're not here because of something you did. You weren't your own idea. Somebody else came up with you. Somebody else figured all this out. That's the physical reality. We're not talking about something difficult. I know that atheists like to quote Thomas Huxley when he says, Thomas Huxley said many years ago that the reason why he doesn't believe in God, I believe it was Thomas Huxley, you might get the quote better off somewhere else, I'm not sure. It's been quoted, repeated many, many times. So who said it first, I'm not sure. But he said, why I don't believe in God is there's not enough evidence. Not enough evidence. Now, I don't know how much would be enough. But all the evidence that exists points to God. And there is not one iota of evidence that points away from God. The only argument that I've heard against the existence of God is that there's evil in the world. And if there's evil in the world, it doesn't make sense to your ethical mind, which had to come from something. It doesn't make sense to your ethical mind that God would have created evil. And so, because you have that quandary, that's your evidence against God. There is no other evidence against God. So when they say, there's not enough evidence to make me believe that God exists, well, they're smoking their socks. That's all the evidence that there is. I heard another atheist say that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And they mean that if I claim that there is a God, that that's such an extraordinary claim that I have to have extraordinary evidence to prove it. I say it's exactly the opposite. To say that there is no God is such an extraordinary claim, you need some extraordinary evidence to justify that ridiculous assertion.
Amen.
And the idea that you think you are so smart, it's amazing to me that atheists think that they are so smart that that's the reason why they're atheists and they're not going to be gullible and naive and stupid like all these religious people who believe in a God. And I want to tell you, all of the most intelligent people that ever lived, and that's by any objective standard, by how much good they've created, have done for the world, all of the most intelligent people that ever lived believed that God existed and believed that God made them and believed they owed something to God. This is the physical reality. You're here. Stuff doesn't come from nothing.
Right.
Something doesn't come from nothing. In all of our experience, we don't ever find something coming from nothing. I was one time on the banks of the Guadalupe River, and they were telling me that right there on the Guadalupe River, that was an encampment for Indians. I don't know what kind of Indians, but these were fierce Indians that made hunting tools right there because the rocks in that river are flinty and they crack just a certain way and they could make arrowheads. And while they were telling me this, I looked down and I saw an arrowhead. And I reached down in a pile of rocks and picked out the arrowhead. And you know why? Because I know what an arrowhead is. And I know that didn't happen by being at the bottom of a river. You see, I'm just not that stupid to think that an arrowhead comes from accident. I know somebody made that arrowhead, and I can tell there's a design. I can tell there's a reason. I know what the little legs are for, so they can tie it to a shaft. And I understand what the point is for, so that it'll penetrate heavy leather. I know what all that stuff is for. I get the idea. I understand the reason for it. And it makes me come to a conclusion. Somebody made this arrowhead for a reason. And I look at you. I look at me. I look at this world, and I say, hey, this is the physical reality. We are created by an astonishingly intelligent creator. Now that's the physical reality. But I want to get to the real physical reality, and that is the fact that this creator didn't just create us and boot us out into the street, so to speak. This creator loaded us with benefits. Science has what's called an anthropic principle. Anthropic means having to do with human. And the anthropic principle in science is that there's an awful lot of things that we find that are clearly made for humans. Not for trees, not for amoebas, not for snails, but for humans. You say, well, what does that mean? I thought no, it's the anthropic principle. You study it out and you'll find hundreds of points that are made to prove that this universe and this planet was made for humans. For people that could understand. I'll give you a couple. Did you know that the sun and the moon are exactly the same size in the sky? When you look up in the sky, you see the sun, you see the moon, they're the same size. I know there's some smart aleck saying, you can't see them both at the same time. But they are the same size. You get yourself a ruler and figure it out. They're the same size. And do you realize that I even recognized that. I thought, well, that is an amazing coincidence that the sun and the moon are the same size in the sky. What are the chances of that? And that was before I'd ever studied anything about the anthropic principle. I thought, what are the chances of that? Do you realize what that does? It causes eclipses. Do you realize how much in the dark we'd be, pun intended, if there were no such thing as an eclipse? It would be a very difficult thing to figure out stuff. It's amazing what eclipses has allowed us to understand about our world and about heaven and about the solar system. It was eclipses. That's how they set up the calendars. That's how they could look forward. That's how they could see where the planets are going. That's how they determined all of these rotations, by eclipses. Now, you can either think that's just an astounding coincidence that on the one planet where humans exist, things are set up for them to understand. You know what God said in Genesis chapter 1? He said, I'm going to put the sun and the moon and the star in the sky and the stars so that they'll be for seasons and for times and so that you'll be able to mark time and understand. It's called the anthropic principle. Do you know what that is? It's a benefit. Now, I could go on. There's an awful lot of them. Iron core in the earth. Do you know it's very important that our earth have an iron core? I'm not going to chase this wabbit anymore. I'm just going to tell you, this anthropic principle is true. It's called a benefit. You know, just, have you ever eaten an apple? What good does an apple do to an apple tree? Nothing. It can just spit out seeds. Apple trees don't use apples. You use apples. It's called benefits. And why does an apple have to taste good? Really good. Come on now. Really good. You know, there are some amazing things on this earth that God did just to see you smile.
Right.
All kinds of things. Have you ever looked at a sunrise? You ever seen finger lightning in the sky after a rainstorm? Just all kinds of little veins of lightning going all across the sky. You just sit there and wonder. Wow! You ever seen the Grand Canyon? Take your breath away, won't it? Huh? It's amazing. We were passing out these flyers that we have, that we pass out, and Rebecca was saying, you know, I had three people come up to me today and say, what a beautiful picture. That little thing we print on our flyer, that creation flyer, just a pretty picture of a lake. Yeah. God did that for you. God did that because He knew you would appreciate beauty. Look at those flowers. You think He did that for bees? No, He didn't do that for bees. He didn't do that for hummingbirds. He did it for you. It's because God loads us with benefits. You need to consider that God has given you stuff and you just keep receiving stuff. And you ain't never given nothing back. You have nothing to give. You're not even ready to ask the question. You know how many people have lived their entire lives without ever asking that question? What can I give God? Amazing. Benefits. Food tastes good. The beauty that's in the world. Those are benefits. It would not have to be. We live in an astonishing place with astonishing beauty. You look at the pictures that they take of the Hubble in the Hubble telescope of things that are out there that we never even imagine. But the deeper you look, just the more amazing it becomes.
Yeah.
You ever seen the rings on Saturn? Make you wonder why. Something. You ever seen the Northern Lights? Make you wonder. It's what keeps you alive, by the way. That's that iron core that helps us out. Well, it's an amazing thing. How about the fact that you can think?
Yes, right.
You can add 2 + 2. You just take that for granted, don't you? Till you start to lose it. Like somebody says, you know, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most. Ask anybody with Alzheimer's, seriously. They know that's not what you want. But God gave you the ability to reason. He gave you the ability to think things through and to control your spirit. There's no other animal that can do that. They can't think things through. They can't make decisions to go against their nature and to do things that are right. They can't understand ethical realities or moralities. They can't understand right from wrong. They can't make judgments about yes or no. Ask your pet dog next time you have marital difficulties. See what kind of information they give you. See if they can help you through the crisis. No, you need a mind. You need somebody that can think things through. And God gave you that. God gave you the ability to think. Don't take that for granted. It was a gift of God. You didn't, when you were born, say, you know, I'm going to prepare my mind to think. I'm going to start right now and really build up a really good thinking machine here. No, you were born with it. You were born with it. You came out of the womb thinking. You came out of the womb with all your faculties intact, ready to go. You started acquiring knowledge the moment you started. The moment you started breathing, you started taking it all in. You look at these little babies, they're taking it all in. They take it all in. They take all your arguments in. They take your little indiscretions in. They're watching it all. Big ears. They all got big ears. They hear what you say. They got big eyes. They see what you say. They see what you do. Yes, they do. Well, because God gave us understanding. What about education? You sucking it all in, aren't you? Just absorbing it all. Don't even appreciate it. You realize that most people throughout history have not been educated? That the vast majority, I'm talking about well over 90% of the people in the world throughout history, have not been able to read? But not you. Oh, you got some benefits, don't you? You can read, all kinds of things given to you. Did you do that? Did you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, did you? Did you get all that stuff together because you were just that much ahead of the game and that's why you are where you are? Why don't you just acknowledge that you've received from God and given Him nothing? You got stuff from God that you did not deserve. You have gotten stuff from God. Now, I realize somebody's going to get on a theoretical term or a theoretical plane and say, well, there's some people out there that got a really bad lot in life. And that's true. There are some people out there with a really bad lot in life. But I want you just to consider right now the benefits that you've gotten from God. Wow. Education. How about your heritage? How about your liberties? You didn't fight for this stuff. Somebody else did. Handed it to you. Gave it to you. Your rights. You know something else that God gave us? He gave us wisdom. And I mean, He gave us the Bible to guide us. He didn't leave you alone. He didn't leave you on your own so you can figure things out on your own. Can you imagine? I saw a picture on Facebook. Debbie's Facebook thing came up with a picture. I don't know who put the picture on there, but it was a little baby asleep on a Bible. And the caption was, they come with manuals. You need some help. You need some information. You need some wisdom. And God gave that to you. God sent prophets, and He gave them stunning miracles to prove that they were prophets. And now we got people saying they got to prove it all over again. So Jeremiah's got to come back from the dead and redo miracles for them to even respect the book of Jeremiah. Nonsense. God's already done it. It's already been proven. You're already reaping all the benefits of the Bible right here in this place. The Bible's already done its work in your life. You've already reaped the benefits. You've got the liberties. You've got the education. You've got the rights that we know are given to us because of what God did. We know what God has done for us. Haven't you come to the conclusion yet that you've received an awful lot of benefits from God? God's given you all kinds of stuff. And I'm not talking about wealth. Every election cycle, everybody's talking about, we need to be a little bit better off than we are. And I'm thinking we're worse off than we are, so we got to vote for somebody else. Oh, nonsense. That's not where the benefits are. The benefits are in what God has given you. Directly or indirectly, you've got all kinds of things from God. And then when you start talking about spiritual benefits, He not only gave you the Bible to give you wisdom and understanding and tell you to stay away from strong drink and hallucinating drugs. Yeah, He tells you how to stay away from violence and stay away from stealing and stay away from the bad peers and the bad colleagues and the people that are trying to take you wrong. He gives you all kinds of wisdom and He does it for your good. It's benefits that God has given you. God's taking care of you. But then He says, I'm going to give you some more benefits. I'm going to give you some patience. You see, because you've been a sinner. You've done some things wrong, and God says, hold on. I can see all the holy angels saying, how long, Lord? Let's take care of this. These people are filthy. They are full of junk. Look at these people. Everything they touch turns into junk. It's just junk. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's wipe them off the face of the earth. I can see it happening, and God saying, hold on. Hold on. God is not in a rush to damn you. God is not in a rush to kill you. That's why you're still alive. That's why you're still breathing. You're telling me you haven't done anything bad enough for God to be angry at you? Oh, yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. But God says, patience. Hang on. We're going to give them another year. Give them another 2 years. Give them another 10 years. Give them another 15 years. Maybe give you 70 years. Why? Well, because God gives you benefits. These are things that come with it. They're not your direct pay, but they're just extra stuff that just God just dumps on us abundantly like the rain He gave us yesterday and the day before. Inches and inches and inches of rain just pouring down. They're benefits. God gives them to you. Do you not recognize that? You know another thing he says? He gives them space. Not just patience. The Bible says he gave Jezebel space to repent. You know what that means? He backs off. He gives you some space. And what he's hoping for is for you to repent and say, okay. You think it's just because God's, you know, sort of indifferent, not paying attention, or maybe he's not really offended at you. But what he's done is he's given you space. That's a benefit. Because you get too close to him, he's just big enough, he'll burn you to a crisp. He's just that bright. He's just that holy. He'd burn you to a crisp if he gets too close to you. So he gives you some space. And he says it's for you to repent. And let me tell you something about the benefit of the possibility of repentance. Don't take that for granted. Did you know God says, if you'll repent, I'll treat you like you never did it. That is what he said. You read Ezekiel 33. He says, if you will just repent, if you'll stop doing it, I'll treat you like you never did it in the first place. That's called repentance. That's a pretty big benefit. Man, we could all use a take back, a little mulligan once in a while, right? And say, hey, let's just pretend that never happened. You ever said something? You say, listen, let's pretend that never happened. Let's say I never said that, okay? I remember one time Dara was watching, I believe it was Amanda, and they said, or it might have been Lena, I don't remember which one of my daughters it was, but she said, hey, let's not and let's say we did. And my daughter says, well, that would be a lie. Yes, that's right. That would be a lie. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is God gives you space. He gives you a place to repent. He gives you an ability to say, all right, let's say that never happened. Let's just forget that. It is a lie. It's not exactly true that it never happened, but God's willing to treat you like it never happened. That's called repentance. That's a benefit. That's helped you plenty of times, I'm telling you. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you reconciliation. Yeah. Did you know he offers you healing? We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that offers you healing. You're stuck on drugs? Tired of a 12-step program? Doesn't quite fix the problem? Why don't you talk to God? Why don't you pray to the God who heals, who can raise people? He saw this one funeral procession going by while he was headed somewhere else, and he stops and stops the funeral procession and says, arise! And the child came right out of his coffin. Rose right up. Sent him home. Do you think God can't take care of your problem? But that's a benefit, folks. You know how many times God has healed you? How about the health that you enjoy? Did you earn that?
Thank you, Lord.
Is that because you did an awful lot of exercise when you were a baby? It was given to you. He offers you fellowship. Let me tell you about another wonderful benefit. And you probably have taken this for granted many times. But the Bible in the New Testament uses a word over and over and over again that you should never ignore and never take for granted. It's the word called whosoever.
Yes, amen.
That is a huge word that you need to learn. I know it's old English, but so what? Get used to it. Amen. The Bible's old, okay? Amen. Get used to the old English. Whosoever is a huge word you need to learn. It's a big word. It means you're included.
Amen.
God didn't leave you out. He says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you hear the word? Whosoever! Wow! This is our God. He loads us with benefits. He tells us to preach the gospel. And He says, when you preach the gospel, use the word, whosoever. Anybody at all. All right, these are benefits. Now, who can deny that God has given them benefits? All kinds of stuff you didn't earn. Just receive and receive and receive. Well, you know what happens to little kids when they just receive and receive and receive? They start taking it for granted. They start feeling entitled. They start complaining about the littlest things. You don't like those kids, do you? Nobody likes them. Nobody likes a whiny kid that has everything. You know what I'm talking about. Nobody likes them. Why? Because they're despicable. They've got everything going their way and all they can do is complain. All they can do is be sad about the one toy they don't have. That's one thing I've got against Christmas, aside from all the other stuff. That's exactly what you need to do. Buy your kids more toys. I know they don't want to receive a sweater, but certainly they don't need more toys. I started dumping all our toys. I just got rid of all that stuff. We had boxes and boxes of big old plastic toys. And I told my kids, if you come home from grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, I don't care who it is, you come home with a plastic toy bigger than my hand, I'm throwing it away. So from then on, they'd go shopping with their aunt and they'd say, would you like that? No, I can't. Dad says I can't. Why not? It's bigger than his hand. That's right. Get rid of it! I know some of you tender-hearted ladies think, oh, but all babies, all kids need toys. Man, I had bricks and blocks of 2x4s, took an old skate, nailed it to it, made our own skateboards. We did all kinds of things like that. We didn't need no fancy toys. Go ahead, buy your kids some toys. Your poor little pea-picking children ain't got enough toys. You get them anything you want. My goodness. But you know what happens is that people start becoming despicable because of all the stuff they've got. And they believe that life is all about sucking it all in. And all they can think of is, I want more. You know, it's an amazing thing that there are people going to church right now, all over this world. Right now, in church. And you know what they're interested in? What they can get from God. What can God do for me? In fact, that's what keeps churches afloat. These churches are offering services. Because that's the reason why people go to church. What they can get out of it. And that's why so few come to our church, because they don't get that much stuff. I mean, we don't have professional entertainment, and we don't offer, you know, a Starbucks in the lobby. But a lot of people want to go to church to get something from it. But who's asking the question, what can I give to God?
Right. Amen.
You see, because this is an ethical reality. The ethical reality is, you got something from God, what are you going to give to Him? You know it. You know it's true. Thursday, and in court, a little kid was in the courtroom, and it was going forever. These hearings were going forever, and this little child was getting restless. And the bailiff says to me, this is a rough bailiff. He's pretty rough on all these kids and all the parents, and I've seen him do things that were very questionable. But he looks at this little kid, and he says, come here. And the little kid looks around and walks up to him, and he pulls out a little candy, a little lollipop, hands it. She took it and walked back to her mama, and her mama said, what do you say? And she had to go back over to him and say, thank you. Why? Because it's poor taste to take something and not say thank you.
Amen.
You ought to show some appreciation. If somebody helps you out on the side of the road, don't you want to say thank you? I don't know how many times I've helped somebody out on the side of the road and they want to pay me. I'm serious. They want to give me money. They want to hand me money. I tell them, you can't afford me. You don't have enough money to pay me back for that. I used to preach in the streets of Mexico, and they would always accuse me of doing it for the money. They say, come on, tell us the truth. Somebody pays you to do this. I said, nobody can pay me enough to preach to you people. Nobody has enough money to pay me to put up with this kind of trash that you're giving me. I wouldn't do it for the money. But don't you realize the ethical reality? You owe something. Don't you understand the concept of duty? Do you understand the concept of debt? That if you get something from somebody, you ought to have something to return. Now I realize you say, well, you know, you can get your theoretical mind to going and saying, well, I don't see why. I don't see why I owe God anything. I've actually had people tell me, what has God ever done for me? What has God ever done for me? And I've heard some of them say, well, whatever it is, wherever He is, whatever, what doesn't matter to me, I'm not interested in Him, and I don't owe Him anything. But you know, that's just plain despicable. That's just a lack of human dignity, because God gave you understanding and reason and a sense of ethical morality so that you can say, what has God done for me? What have I to do for Him? I ought to be able to give something back. Wasn't it David that after he got established in his kingdom says, look up some of the children of Jonathan. I want to show them some kindness. Why? Because Jonathan showed him kindness. Find his children. Bring them here. They're going to sit at my table. And I'm going to have fellowship with them. Why? Because they treated me good. They showed me some kindness. That happens all the way through the Scriptures. It happened all the way through your life. Even in kindergarten, you were told you need to give back. You need to share. You need to help. You need to be some usefulness. You aren't here just to absorb and just to receive. God gives the rain to the trees and the trees give you fruit. What do? I was talking to a young man one time in Morelia. He was sitting under a huge tree. And he's telling me he goes to this college that's there. And he was telling me that he hadn't had time to read the Bible. In fact, he said it didn't llamar su atención, didn't interest him. It didn't interest him. He said he didn't find much profit in it. And I said, profit? Profit? I said, look at this tree. Tell me what it's good for. Oh, I can tell you what it's good for. It's good for shade. We were using the shade at that moment. He says it's a habitat for birds. It's got all kinds of stuff in it. It gives us rosins. And these rosins have chemicals that help us out. And I mean, we've got shellac and stuff that we get from the rosins. And it keeps the soil from eroding. This guy was a smart young man. And he talked about all the stuff this tree was doing. And I said, all right, now stop and ask yourself, what good are you?
Amen.
And he was stumped. He was going back and forth and what good am I? What good am I? He finally dawned upon him. He said, I can have children. And I said, so your entire purpose in life is to have more useless people in the world? That's your whole purpose in life? You're useless and you're just going to make more useless people in the world. Don't you realize you owe something back? You got to give God something. You got to make yourself worthwhile. If you hire somebody to do some work for you, don't you expect to get something for it? Of course you do. You want something for it. You say, I'm going to pay you $500 and I want this done. And if you pay the $500 and they don't do the work, don't you get a little bit irritated? You reckon God might have a reason to be irritated at you? How old are you? What have you given Him? How much time have you breathed His air and ate His food? How much time have you enjoyed His sunshine and all of His benefits? And you haven't given Him anything. You've offered Him nothing. You've not been any useful to Him at all. You've just lived your life as a useless, absorbing sponge, taking in everything you can get from God. Never offering Him anything in return. And then you say, I'm going to go to church. And you go to church, and you go to the church, and I've heard them tell it to me all the time. I went to church. I didn't get anything out of it. Well, you went for the wrong reason.
Amen.
What'd you go to get from? You already got. You already got from God all that you ought to get. You've gotten a whole lot more than you deserve from God. And now you go to church to get more? Don't you realize you owe something to God?
Yeah.
You've got a debt. You've got a duty. You got a responsibility. You don't want to be a mooch. You know the principle. It's an ethical reality that you follow every day of your life. You don't want to take and never give. But that's what you're doing with God. Every day of your life, take. And every prayer you pray, gimme. I want more. I'm not satisfied with what I got. You ought to consider all your complaining. You ought to consider your attitude. You might be like those despicable kids, huh? You reckon? You know, it's a matter of human dignity. You're not a dog.
That's right. Amen.
But even dogs give back.
Yes, amen.
But you're not a pet. You're not an animal. You're not a dead rock. You're a human being that God made in His image. And there's a certain dignity associated with that. That means, if God gives you something, you ought to be useful. You ought to be giving God something back. You ought to have something to offer. Or you're going to come to God's presence and have nothing to offer. That's what you want to do. It used to be a custom that when you went to visit somebody's house, you brought a present. You would bring something. And if you didn't have anything to bring, you'd go borrow something. That's the way it used to be. We live in such a fast-paced society now. All of the old all the old etiquette stuff has sort of gone away. But that's the way it used to be, with thinking people saying, look, we can't be invited over to eat and not bring anything. And even today, if you get invited over to eat, I'll bet you you'll say, is there anything I can bring? I appreciate you offering to feed us, but is there anything I can do? And if you show up and they're working in the kitchen, don't you go in there and say, can I help? I'll bet you don't. I'll bet you don't. You were raised in a barn and you haven't figured out simple etiquette yet. But that's all right. We're trying to teach it to you. We're trying to let you understand. You owe something. You have something to give. You have to give God something. You've got to give God something. Don't you realize? What have I to give God for all His benefits that He's given to me? God's given me so much. Has it never crossed your mind that you've got to give God something? And yet there are people that live like that all day long. All they think about is, what can I get from God? I want something else. I want some more. I have nothing to give. So what do you owe? I mean, if you really consider what God has given you, what do you owe God? Everything. Not a tithe. One of the problems with tithing is that you think you've done your duty. Right? If you give 10% of your income, you feel like, oh wow, that hurt, and I have really done good for God here. But you really haven't.
Amen.
You just tithed. And that's a nice thing to do. That's good. It's probably good for you to learn how to give. Yeah. It's good for your soul. Help you out a little bit. Doesn't really make God any richer. You know what you owe God? Everything.
Amen.
You owe Him everything. There ought to be absolutely nothing out of His reach. Every single thing ought to be at play. What do you want, God? What do you want? All right, we have a spiritual reality, and the spiritual reality we're coming to is most of the stuff people offer God, God would not accept. Most of the things that people offer God are not acceptable to God. Probably most of the stuff you offer God, God does not want. You know what God, He mentions this principle in the Bible many times about how people are bringing Him stuff that He doesn't want. Doesn't He say in Isaiah chapter 1, He says, away with your oblations. Get these things. He says, I can't stand the smell of your incense. Why? Because your hands are full of blood. You're filthy sinners. And you come here invoking my name and calling on me while you've got all your idols and idolatry and all kinds of trash in your life. You say you come here and you want to live for me, and yet you do these things that I hate, that I can't stand. There are several principles. First of all, people bring to God what He hates. It's happening all over the world right now. He's already told you what He hates. I don't know if you realize it, but He hates idolatry.
Yes.
But people are bringing Him that all the time, thinking they're doing God a big favor. Why? They come there, they bow down to this little image. They pray, they kiss it. They've kissed St. Peter's toe so much over there in Rome that his toe doesn't exist anymore. It's just worn away with all the lips. But you know what God says? He hates it. You know what God said? He says, when I appeared to you without any image at all. You could not discern me. All it was a cloud with no shape. You know why, He said? Because if I had come in a shape, you'd make that shape and you'd bow down to it. And that's what a whole lot of people do. They bow down to images. They pray to the saints. They pray to Mary. They pray to all kinds of stuff that's not God. And God says, well, you pray to them when you need me. I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to give you your request. I'll have nothing to do with it. I can't stand that stuff. And yet that is the majority of people all over the world today offering God what He says in His book He hates. He can't stand it. How can God accept your prayer if it's prayed bowing down to an image? He can't accept that. It's wrong. But there's other things that He hates. He hates your pride. He hates your hypocrisy. You think? You think He hates your rebellion toward His Word? You think He hates your laziness?
Yeah. Amen.
There's an awful lot of laziness going on in worship services today.
Amen.
It's an awful lot of convenience. And if the church isn't convenient, people blow it off.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right?
You know why? Because they're offering what God doesn't want. They're offering laziness. They're offering rebellion. They're offering pride. Let me tell you something else they offer. They offer God stuff He has no use for. Like Lent. Who was it said? I think it was you that said. One of his co-workers said, "I'm giving up walking backwards for Lent." Okay. Now what use is that? You know what Jesus talks about prayer? He says, you know, some people, they just repeat the same words over and over and over in their prayer. They just repeat the same words. He says, vain repetition. Yeah. Well, what use does God have for you repeating the rosary 100 times?
Yeah.
He has no use for it. So you can quote the Lord's Prayer 100 times, and you just repeat it over and over again, and God's saying, well, when does this stop? When does this end and He start really praying? When is He going to actually make some contact with me and make some communication? People are offering all the time what God has no use for. Rituals. Junk. God has no use for that. I really do sympathize with atheists when they criticize ridiculous religions. Just nonsense, just stupidity, over and over, doing stuff by rote with no meaning. That's the way most people do all their stuff, all their religious stuff. And all the meaning is lost, it's gone. And good thing, because a lot of the meaning is wicked. Like Halloween last night. People doing stuff have not got a clue what they're doing. Don't even know what it's about. Don't know what Halloween means. Don't know what All Souls Day is. Don't know what All Saints Day is. Never ask the question, why? I don't have any obligation to God. I'm just doing what's fun. I'm doing what like I like. And it pleases me. That's what I do. That's your Christian life, isn't it?
Amen.
Wow. You offer God what He has no use for. There's another problem. And that is that you offer God what you have no use for.
Amen. Amen.
You give God what's left over. When God says, give me the first fruits. First fruits. You remember when Elijah went over there and that widow was there and she was getting ready to die. She says, I have enough meal for one more meal for me and my child. I have enough for one more meal. And Elijah says, make it for me. What? Make it for me. But she did. She made that last pancake for him. And you know what it says? It says the meal didn't fail. When she went back over there was a little bit left in there. And she fed her son and herself. And during the whole famine, 3.5 years of famine, the meal didn't fail.
Amen.
She kept on. But God says, give it to me first. That's amazing, isn't it? First fruits. But you know what you give God? Leftovers. Right before you throw it out. I remember Joe West, your uncle, preaching on missionary myths. He said, you know, like the idea that one of the missionary myths is that missionaries have use for things that you don't have use for. He says one time a missionary said he received a huge box of left-footed shoes. Not pairs of shoes, but left-footed shoes. All of them left-footed. What? He said he one time received a huge box of used tea bags. Used tea bags. We got no use for this. Let's send it to the missionaries. I'm not trying to give you all ideas. People are offering to God all kinds of blemished sacrifice. He says He looks at these animals that they were given as sacrifices and they were broken. Or they were cut or they were bruised. They had to be tossed away. They had to be slaughtered and thrown away. And so that's what they were bringing God. And God says, you think I wouldn't notice? Is that what you thought? Offer it to your prince and see if he'll take it. You offer me all this junk. You offer me stuff with blemishes. You offer me leprous stuff. You offer me all kinds of sinful stuff. All kinds of your holidays you do. All kinds of trash in it. You're offering blemished sacrifices to God. You give God what He has no use for, and you give God what you have no use for. What do you think? God's going to accept it? You've got a real problem. You say, what can I render unto God for all His benefits? And then what do you offer Him? Nothing. You offer Him junk. Let me tell you something else. You offer God what you won't let go of yourself. You're half-hearted in all you're giving. You give with strings attached. You always give stuff that you're going to take back. You don't mean what you say. You're just not into it. And that's the most people in the world. You know what Jesus said? Take up your cross. Deny everything. Oh, you say, that's too hard. There's no way that that's what God's expecting. I'm here to tell you, that's what God's expecting. You know what God wants from you? Everything.
Amen.
He wants your whole life. And if you hold anything back, He doesn't want it at all. If there's something you still want for yourself and you don't want to have God have control of it, then God doesn't want you. God's not accepting that kind of a sacrifice. God doesn't want it. You see, because you say, what can I offer God? Well, what can you offer God? You can only offer God what you have. And what you have is all you have. All you have to offer God is all you have. Let me tell you something. You have a quandary here. Because you know God made you and has given you tremendous benefits. Benefits that you cannot quantify. You cannot explain. You cannot understand. You can't get to the bottom of. You don't have any idea how much God has given you. And you also know by the ethical reality of that you owe God something. You owe Him something. And you have to ask yourself that question. What can I render unto God for all His benefits that He's given me? How can I give something back to God? And then God makes it clear what He wants out of you. He wants you. He wants you. He wants everything you have. He doesn't want a tithe. He wants the whole paycheck. You say, you mean I got to write my whole paycheck to the church? He wants you. He wants the whole person. He doesn't want you to hold anything back at all. He wants you to come to Him and say, God, everything I have is yours.
Amen.
I give it all to you right now. It'll never be mine again as long as I live. It's yours now. Don't give me this that Jacob offered God a tithe. Who cares? We're not following Jacob. We're following Jesus. And Jesus said, let him deny all he's got. Let him come after me. He has to love me more than he loves mama and daddy. More than mother and father. More than his own life. His own life. And if you don't do that, you can in no wise, you got to learn old English. You can in no wise be my disciple. You give it all to me, or I won't take anything from you. You have not fulfilled your obligations toward me until you have given everything you have and own and are to me. That is what you can render to God. You can't render anything else. Most of the stuff you're willing to offer God, God doesn't want, God doesn't need, God will not accept. But He would accept you if you would come sincerely and say, everything I have is yours, God. And if you're a Christian here and you haven't realized that that was the commitment you were making when you gave yourself to God in the first place, you might ought to remake your commitment today. You might ought to talk to God and say, God, I got something to give you. I owe you all I've got, everything I've got. And if I'm not offering you this for you to give me something else, I want to give you my life. Haven't you done that? Haven't you given God your life? Is there anything you're holding back from God? Is there something that you're not willing to give to God? You're not willing to give up your precious children? You're not willing to give up your family life? You're not willing to give up your very life? Something you're holding back from God? You say, I won't give it to Him. Why? You're afraid? You're afraid He might take it? Let me tell you, you have something you have to owe. You owe God something. You have a debt to pay. God gives you all this stuff. And what does He ask for? He wants you. He wants you. Let's pray. Lord, if there's some soul here today that does not know You as Savior, Lord, I ask You to break in on their life, break in on their mind. Don't let them rest until they've found You. Lord, if there's some Christian here today that's holding back, doesn't want to give You everything, Lord, I ask You to touch them. Change them, God. Make them different. Lord, I ask you to break into our hearts. Lord, make us understand your will. Help us to follow it. If there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't know you as Savior, I ask you to save their souls. I ask you to bless them. I ask you in Jesus' name. We're going to stand and we're going to sing number 394.